So hey guys, welcome to the latest episode of the SaaS Sessions podcast. Today we have Arundhati Balachandran on the show with us. Currently, Arundhati is the Senior Director of Customer Success at ChargeBee. For those of you who don't know what ChargeBee is a leading subscription billing and revenue management platform. Arundhati, with over a decade of experience wearing multiple hats in the GTM space across services and SaaS businesses, she joined ChargeBee as the Director of Sales in early 2018. And then after a year of setting up the sales development team, she took over the 5-member customer success team at ChargeBee. And now the team is 35 members strong, driving great retention and reducing churn crazily. So hey, Arundhati, such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Hey, Sunil. Nice to be here. Thanks for that lovely introduction.
Awesome. I definitely want to know, and you know, I want to double click on how did you move from sales into customer success. But before that, I gave a very short and a brief intro about you, Arundhati. So can you tell us more about yourself and, you know, how did you explore the world of SaaS?
Sure thing. I think, see, you rightly said, I have over 15 years of work experience in the GTM space, right? Donning different hats in sales, pre-sales, consulting. I actually started my career with Deloitte Consulting in the US, and then, you know, now with customer success. So I've pretty much been customer facing from day one. And it really helps that I have donned all these hats, because customer success as a function is so multidimensional, right? It's all about the customer experience, which comes from my consulting past, and also expansion and retention is our revenue metrics that, you know, we've been very conscious about from the sales aspect. So yeah, I think having donned different hats has really helped me, you know, develop a good understanding of customer success. And this is my with ChargeBee, this has been my first SaaS experience as well. I've been in services all along. So this has definitely been what I like about SaaS is it's so structured. Customer success also gives structure to how you engage with customers. And the fact that you can have a playbook and a repeatable framework to make that happen, that's what's exciting for me.
Great. And you mentioned that you've been into services for all along, right? And now you lead a function, which is customer success, which is, I think, is predominant, you know, in only in SaaS kind of businesses, right?
That's
so what kind of difference do you see, you know, in a service and SaaS company with respect to customer success, right? Like how would a service company do customer success in that way?
Sure. See, I'll tell you what, at the end of the day, you want to keep a customer happy, and that's common, irrespective of whether you're in a services company or product company. But what helps is, you know, when you have a product that's tangible and customers are deriving value out of it. So it's product driven, right? The product driven engagement helps, because then you don't need to hire as many people as you do in services. Your product does everything. Your customers are advocates for the product more than the services. So in that sense, we work very closely with the product team to, you know, get that feedback, being the voice of the customer and sharing that feedback with the product. So it's more like a CS/ product engagement with, whereas in services, you do everything, right? You hire a team. And I've been working with customers who are like large enterprises, and I've led teams of 100 to 200 people. And here I'm able to do the same thing for the same revenue with 35 people in my team. So that's the biggest difference that I see.
That's amazing. And then, you know, double clicking on your journey in ChargeBee itself, from, you know, the sales team to the customer success team, right? Like, how did that happen and why did that happen? Can you share, you know, if you have to travel back in time when you were kind of transitioning into customer success from the sales team, right? Like, why did you choose that? You know, also, as you mentioned, right, you come from a services background and, you know, moving into a function which is, you know, predominant in SaaS. How did you find, like, you know, how did you get acquainted all with all the knowledge that is out there, you know, for that is required for any customer success leader?
Sure. So I was with the sales team for a year, right, before I moved to take over the customer success team at ChargeBee. And in sales, I had the experience of having set up the entire inside sales team with the assembly line framework of LDRs, SDRs, and account executives, and coming up with playbooks and KPIs for each of these roles. And one thing, as we were doing that, we realized that, you know, there was also this leaky bucket problem in terms of churn and retention, and we really needed someone to focus on that. And we had a 5-member team that were focusing on a select, you know, large customers, but we really didn't have a formal approach from a CS standpoint. And what I saw was, you know, we were already a bit late from a ChargeBee perspective to set up that formal customer success team, right? One thing that I would like to tell everyone is, sales is unidimensional in terms of that revenue you want to go after. Whereas customer success, the number one priority is retention, right? Where because it's 5x more expensive to acquire a new customer. So we had to fix that leaky bucket issue as an organization. And second is also, we weren't really focusing on expansion revenue. And that was, and that seemed to be the right time to start focusing on expansion revenue. So what I thought was, you know, it was a great opportunity for me to take this over as you know, as a functional head and take that as a challenge, even because customer success is still new in the SaaS industry. And if you see every organization, we all have different ways of doing it. And but it's interesting because it has to be customized for the product that you're catering to. So that happened. And then I took it over in the beginning of 2019. But the one thing that I'll tell you is, CS and sales are part of the revenue org, right? So there were multiple learnings from sales that really helped me. So if you think about it, if you look at it as there is no such thing as post-sales in any business, because the sales motion is actually a continuous loop, starting from your MQLs and prospects until renewals. So I just saw as myself moving slightly downstream in the revenue org in the GTM space and handling that aspect of it. So, and one of the things we always say is everyone in the organization should treat customers as if they are still pre-sales and prospects, because the customer experience delivered when you think that way is just mind-blowing if you think about it. So, totally. Yeah. So I think that's how the journey happened. And I'm really glad, you know, that I made that change, because this is really helped me, because I'm a bit of a jack of all trades, master of none. And I'm proud to say that, because I think it helps me tackle different problems like retention or churn or expansion or advocacy and experience. So it just gives me different things to work on every day.
Got it. That's really interesting, right? And I do agree with the point that you said, right? Like there's no something like post sales process in SaaS, right? Because even once the sale is done and, you know, the account goes to the customer success team, they have to, like, you know, expand and upsell in the same account. So it would go complete the loop. And, you know, once you have an upsell, it is again a sales, right? So I do agree with the point that there is no something like a post sales in at least SaaS businesses where you have expansions and upsells going on in the product. Really interesting. One thing that you mentioned, Arundhati, when we were talking long back about doing this, and you know, I saw it on your LinkedIn as well, that you're you know, highly data driven, right? Mm-hmm. So what were the, you know, initiatives that you took in with respect to being data driven in the customer success function? And you know, from there to now, what has evolved in you know, being data driven?
Sure. So I do have a master's in data analytics. So my obsession with data started very long back. And one thing that I love about customer success is, versus sales, right? You have all that data, and if you actually don't use it, it's a sin to not use that data that you have about your customers and using that for your engagement strategies. So I think the first thing that we did for CS was hiring our first CS operations analyst. Okay. And contrary to popular belief, I did not hire my first CSM, but I hired this role first, because it was really important to understand and have like a 360 degree view of the customers. And right. And for that, we had to leverage data from various touch points, right from the time, you know, sales conversations in the CRM, support conversations, all that. I wanted to have like a 360 view in one place. And we use a tool called Churn Zero. And the ops analyst was actually taking control of both the tool as well as reporting and giving me insights on, hey, so we have so many customers, this is how many CSMs probably we need to hire. So right from the capacity planning for the team, and then how many to hire for the next year, everything started. That was the first thing that I ever did. And that really helped because of my data background. The second was also, you know, once we had the view, it was important to establish a framework of customer segmentation. Because at ChargeBee, we cater to both SMBs and mid-market customers. And we really needed to understand, you know, which customer should have or might need a dedicated customer success manager, and which customer is usually low touch, right? So we had to segment customers, and we did that based on, to be honest, it's multiple attributes that you can segment it based on the kind of organization you have. But we did it based on our customers' growth. At the end of the day, we process their, you know, we are a billing tool and we process their revenue on ChargeBee. So the growth really gave us good signals in terms of our customers growing. And, you know, if they are, then they might need a more dedicated resource from our side. So that was the second thing. And the third thing that we did was also establishing leading indicators based on the data from our customers' usage, right? Whether it was, you know, if a customer is using our product and growing, then they go into our growth and expansion playbooks. And if they're not using the product, then that is a leading indicator of a high-risk customer. So then the retention framework comes into play. So the leading devising and coming up with health scores and leading indicators, you know, that was like the most fun part for us, because the data modeling really came into play there, because you want to see what are the different attributes, be it usage, you know, if they're logging into your product adoption, feature adoption, all those come into play. And we were able to come up with leading indicators for both expansion and retention frameworks.
That's really amazing. And since you mentioned that, you know, the first hire that you did was a CS ops person, I know for all the listeners, I know for a fact that ChargeBee has a great ops team, be it sales ops, revenue ops, CS ops, partner ops. And I also hosted Lavanya, who runs the operations at ChargeBee, on the same show a few episodes back. So, you know, do check that out. But yeah, talking about metrics, right? So there's also, like, you know, some times, or, you know, some instances, Arundhati, when you know, you can't, like, you know, 100% rely on data, and you have to, you know, bring in a gut as well while taking some decisions, right? Like when you're doing some experiments where you don't have enough data, where you don't have, let's say, enough historical data, then you know, you have to rely on both, right? Like some amount of data that you have, or maybe, you know, none, versus your, you know, the gut that you have and that you need to take those few decisions. So in those instances, then how do you manage, like, you know, to take those vital decisions? Because since being a data driven person, right, and not having data to take any decisions, then would love to know, like, what are your, you know, what's the process that maybe you personally follow while taking such decisions?
Sure. And I'm really glad you asked that question, because, you know, that's where my experience comes into play.
Yeah.
Right? I think so. I'll give you an example of something that we did. So one is, because customer success is relatively new across the board in the industry, there are multiple experiments that we have done in the past. And one thing that is unique to what I have done for CS, and I've shared this with other CS leaders in the industry, is, you know, based on my sales experience, I loved how that assembly line of LDR, SDR, AE model worked so well, right? Because the LDR is responsible for doing the market research and giving us all the intel on a prospect. And then the SDR then qualifies that prospect and books a demo with the account executive, and then the account executive closes the deal. So the first thing was, when I moved to CS and I had all this expansion target, was we did first have the CSMs have 80-20 fixed variable kind of a model for the compensation. And then we were asking them to, you know, develop a relationship with the customers as well as sell to them. And there was some conflict of interest in terms of, they were wondering, which hat should I don right now? Is it the relationship hat or is it the sales hat, right? So that was the case for the first 3 months in 2019. And then what I did was, we had a CSM who was very salesy. And so I moved her temporarily into an account manager role, where what we said was, let's have an experiment this month where you play tag team with one CSM and with for their portfolio of customers, and let them give you the pipeline or signals of who's ready to maybe potentially be an expansion opportunity. And then you close the deal, right? So the CSM had pipeline KPIs similar to an SDR, and then the AM had quota targets. And this really moved the needle, and we had a 6x increase in our expansion. Where people I think that was like, I think that people were really amazed in terms of, if you have different, you need to drive the right behavior using KPIs and saying, so we didn't have any, like you said, there's no historical data to this, and I didn't see anyone doing this before. But we did do that. And right now I have a 10-member account management team, and that's become a part of our process and playbook as well.
That's really amazing. I think for you, experiments really work out well when you also when you don't have enough data, but you can also trust your gut. And I think that's where your experience would come into picture, right?
Yeah. To pilot it, right? Like, don't do it with everybody. Do it with a couple of people, your top performers, and then you have to have a repeatable framework, and then give it to your rest of the team. That I think that's the key.
Makes sense. Really interesting. So talking about just taking a deep dive into metrics for the customer success function, right? Like, I know that one or two metrics which are very commonly taught and which are important for this function, like retention and churn, right? And there's enough content about these two metrics already out there, right? Mm-hmm. I know that these two are very, very important and at the core of customer success. But then apart from these two, what are a few other metrics that you think are vital for the CS role, which are often overlooked by many SaaS companies or many customer success leaders, that you track and you follow and you try to increase or try to improve at ChargeBee?
Sure. So the first metric that I would focus on is NRR, right? Which is your net retention rate. And now the thing about NRR is, I'll also explain how we calculate it, because I think one of the things is NRR is an important component of your organization's profitability, right? Mm-hmm. So I mentioned before, acquiring a new customer can be 5 times, if not more, expensive than retaining an existing customer. Mm-hmm. So a high company growth rate and high net retention rate are definitely correlated, and to a point where every month my founders come to me and say, hey, so what's our NRR? Because that's also the questions that investors want to know the health of the organization. Mm-hmm. So that would be that's my top metric that I track. Mm-hmm. And NRR is basically your expansion minus churn. And then, we actually, in the last 2 years, we've grown by 35 points. And I'm really happy to have had that success, because if the minute you have a framework in play, a formal customer success team in play, and the impact that they can have has been proven with that number.
Got it. And I was reading a lot about one metric, which is NPS, right? And how NPS would relate to churn. Right? Like, let's say, will the churn probability be lower if someone is a promoter in an NPS score, or will the churn probability increase when someone is a detractor in an NPS score, right? And I was also reading that if someone does not respond to the NPS survey that you send, the churn probability is even higher than someone who responds with who is a detractor, right? So what is your experience with NPS relating to churn in customer success?
I'm glad you asked that question again. So I think NPS, I actually recently hired a director of customer experience in my team whose top North Star metric to track is NPS, because we were doing really well in terms of revenue, and that shows in our numbers. But I think parallelly, we also wanted to focus on customer experience, and NPS is definitely one metric that can tell us a little bit on what customers are thinking about us, right? So I think, to your point, if there is a correlation between churn and NPS, so I actually read this white paper which said there is no correlation, because the hypothesis is that, customers who are engaging with us and giving us feedback, even if they're detractors, they are not necessarily going to churn. They are still engaging with you. So when it comes to NPS, no news is actually bad news if you're not hearing from them, because I feel like if passives or detractors, we have now have a process to ensure that we are talking to them and wondering why they gave us the score, and they're actually quite responsive. So your churn is it's coming from people who are not using the product. So they don't even know enough to tell you what is missing from a ChargeBee standpoint or from your organization standpoint. So right now we still have not found a correlation between NPS and churn. But what we have found a correlation is between NPS and growth and expansion.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then what are some of the steps you take specifically for the detractors, right? Like since there is someone who's, you know, owning the North Star metric and for NPS. And so what are some of the steps that you and your team take and charge specifically for the detractors so that, you know, you kind of convert them into, you know, promoters, or you kind of promote them into a neutral at least, right? From a detractor phase.
Right. So one of the things we understood after a few months of tracking NPS and wondering why, you know, how to go about this is, Sunil, I think it's important to understand that NPS cannot be owned only by customer success, right? It is a cross-functional metric. So what we did was put together a SWOT team with product, CS, you know, our professional services and customer solutions team because we were getting NPS ratings across the board for different topics, and we needed to find the rightful owners to pass this feedback to. And only then we'll be able to act on it and then go back to the customer. So the CSMs are on the front line and they own the communication with the customer for sure. So what we did was, from a CS standpoint, we are now focusing on, from the time an NPS score comes in till it's resolved, the CSM is a quarterback, you know, with the customer, talking to them, asking them about all these questions. So we are incentivizing them on closing the loop with the customer. Whether they've been able to change the sentiment or not, it could depend on the issue or the issues, that the problem that they're having. It could be a feature request that could happen much later. So we are not focusing. So from a CSM standpoint, it's the follow-up and closing the loop, because customers appreciate that communication, you're taking my feedback seriously. So they're more prone to, you know, increasing that communication. So that's what we are doing from a CS standpoint. And the SWOT helps us in terms of passing on this feedback and getting traction from the other teams.
Very interesting, Arundhati. And I think we have reached the course of the episode. So let's quickly move on to the lightning round. So I have three questions for you, and you have to answer whatever is on top of your mind, you know, first. So the first one, right? What's the one fundamental change that you're making in your job in 2021?
So prioritizing customer experience in 2021 is my top priority. It's because as we scale, our company is growing. So we want to make sure that along with our NRR and GRR and the revenue metrics, we are focusing on customer experience, because at the end of the day, we want to make sure that our customers are delighted, and we are focusing on those moments and what we can add at every stage of the life cycle of the customer.
Got it. And so what's the one thing that has helped you shorten your learning curve?
Quick experiments, I think, help in shortening the learning curve. Second is talking to industry leaders. There is no need to reinvent the wheel. There are people who are doing this and have been doing this for at least 10 years. And I'm not just restricting myself to speaking to people in India, but also speaking to people in Slack or Drift and, you know, other companies that have been doing this for a long time. That has helped me learn much quicker than if I had to do it from scratch.
That's really great. And my last one, right? What do you know about your work now that you wish you would have known when you first started?
All right. Okay, this is a good one. So I didn't know anything about CS when I started, right? As a function. Uh-huh. So I would say, I think I'm in a position to know what metrics are important into drive, or the behavior to drive for the organization's health. I think what I know now is that I don't need to, because it's such a multidimensional role, it's important to pick the right priorities and run with it versus doing everything that you can, because customer success can do that to you. CSM in my team always tells me, help me prioritize, because I don't know what to work on. And I think that is the fundamental learning that I have now after 2 years before, that I didn't know when I started out.
Awesome. So thanks a lot, Arundhati, for, you know, coming on the show and sharing all these great insights with us about customer success and NPS and net revenue retention rate. So any parting piece of advice that you want to leave to the listeners?
Thank you for having me, and I really enjoyed our conversation. I think it was like a trip down memory lane for me chatting with you about these things. And see, I think it's important to understand that customer success is the gatekeeper of churn, drives expansion, and works very closely with marketing on customer advocacy. It's one of the most cross-functional roles I have played, because literally I have meetings with every team every day, like product and marketing. So I think it's important to remember that you cannot be successful with customer success in silo. I think it's important to have these shared OKRs if needed with other teams, because at the end of the day, you're the voice of the customer inside your organization. So make use of the entire organization to be able to be successful.
Amen to that. So yeah, again, once again, thanks a lot for taking time and doing this.
Thank you so much, Sunil. Nice talking to you.